Welcome aboard hour number two of the Internet Advisor. Hi, I'm Foster Brown. Gary Baker is with us from Fort Liberty, Florida. Ed Rudell and Shane Hamlin are in studio. And matter of fact, I'm waving on Skype to some of the folks who are on Gary's boat right now. We're in contact with them. But the most important thing is we're here for you folks. Here's the number, 800-859-0957. Lots of good technical advice waiting for you here at the Internet Advisor. Welcome back. It's hour number two. That is your hour. We call it that because that's exactly what we're committed to. And we've been doing this for nigh on 20 years. Gary and I and the tech experts who join us every Saturday are here in our second hour to answer your questions. And the key is getting in early. Get your questions in then at 800-859-0957. Like Joe from Hamtramck, we'll be getting to him in just a moment. But we're here until 7 o'clock this evening, so please do give us a call from anywhere you can hear the sound of our voices here. Shane, I was curious to get your reaction to that last news piece with Mike
Mike
Brennan about the
parks
augmented reality ruling.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot more than just this, you know, the state or shutting down the game.
Well, the city of Milwaukee.
The city, going after the company and saying you're not going to do this. But it's also, you know, I run into this a lot with, you know, with parks, city parks. You know, the people that live around these city parks, they almost claim them as a private park, their own private property. And I'm one of those guys that like sneaking in. I'm not sneaking in, but I like hitting some of these little private city parks that have lakes, and I like doing a little bass fishing. And
I love it.
And they come out, they literally chase you off the lake. Huh? You'd be surprised how many times they chase you off the lake because they think it's their lake, and you're a stranger who've never seen. And they get this way, you know.
Yeah.
I was thinking, you know, all these people are coming out when the Pokemon thing was happening, and all these people were going to the parks and hanging out and doing all that great stuff.
I thought
stuff.
That was a great thing.
And then they're complaining. I'm thinking, boo-hoo, you know what? You should be happy that people are visiting your park.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if you don't like the littering, go after the people. Like I said, there's laws already in place to take care of all that stuff. And I'm just glad he went after those guys and won that case.
Yep. It'll be interesting to see how much further that goes. I know the Pokemon, as far as I could tell, for instance, in downtown Royal Oak, where we live, that's pretty well passed.
It's done, yeah. It's fad is over.
Another great American fad. Yes. All right, let's get out to our first caller, Joe from Hamtramck. Joe, welcome to the Internet Advisor. And I'm glad you took the advice to give us an early call. What can we do for you?
All righty. Thanks, guys. Yeah, I'm thinking about picking up a new laptop. I was over at Micro Center today, and I've done a little bit of background research here. I'm not real good on all the terms in technology. However, it basically comes down to a choice. We're looking at about the $259, $299 price range versus $359, $399. Mm-hmm. And they've got an HP there. It's a HP 250 G5 for $299, 4 gig. It's got a 5,400 RPM hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
Memory, right? Yeah. Okay. And the HP 15AY130NR, that's $399. Mm-hmm. Now, that's got 8 gig of memory, and it's got the one they're showing on their website is a mechanical hard drive, 5,400 RPM. Mm-hmm. But they had one at the store that had a solid state hard drive.
Yeah, an SSD.
So that solid state better than the 5,400?
Oh, by far, yes. Okay. 5,400 is a fairly slow, honestly slow, but it's on the lower end of the speeds for hard drives. I would have taken both of these that you're looking at, are both i3s probably?
I think so. Yeah. Again, it doesn't come up on the thing, but when I was there, the guy said, you know, this one here compared to the other one, it's about the same price, but that's got the solid state. So he did point that out to me.
In that price range, are they considered free? In that price range, are refurbished, manufacturing refurbished?
No, they're all just marked down.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they may be marked down. Check that.
Yeah. I would because right now, I mean, the average on those, and especially on the 250 G5, that's the model. It's a model older. There's G6 now and so forth, but the i3s, usually a lot of those are manufacturing refurbished right now.
Yeah.
At that price point. Because a new one, new open box is going for probably around $400 right now,
right.
$425.
Right.
But, you know, anytime you can get more RAM, solid state hard drives, because, you know, who needs all the storage now like we used to before?
Yep.
You know,
yeah, exactly.
With the cloud, you don't need it. But anytime you can get more RAM and solid state drive, I'd say go for it, because you're going to see what you're going to see with that solid state drive is things are going to be more instantaneous for you.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You start up your computer and it boots and it's ready to go in like 5 seconds or those kind of things.
Yeah, and you got to be careful with refurbished. What my son discovered, at least with refurbished, is he only had a 90 day manufacturer's warranty instead of the original 2 year from at the time it was Sony Vaio. And so he, you know, something happened to it. The hinges broke on it within 9 months. Yeah. And I'm sorry, that was refurbished. You only get 90 days.
Yeah, I mean,
so you got to be very careful.
You can always, you know, refurbish. Yeah, if you need, you know, if you can take the price cut, refurbish would be fine. You know, but
it depends. It also, I think, depends on what you want to use it for. I mean, if you're going to use it, if you're going to push this thing really hard, then I would say don't cheap it out.
Yeah.
Go for a newer machine, not refurbished. Although refurbished, why do you tell people what refurbished means, guys?
You know, what will happen is you'll get a machine that was either on lease, off lease, or came back with a default or a recall. Mm-hmm. And they'll go in and fix it, and they'll actually they'll restore it back to factory new is what they want to consider it. It depends on what it was brought back originally for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it was a motherboard issue and they caught it and they replaced the motherboards, then fine. You know, then great.
Right.
But, you know, I wouldn't worry too much about the RAM part of it. The solid state drive is a big one because you can upgrade RAM fairly expensive.
Exactly, yeah.
But the solid state drive is nice.
Well, that ties into the other half of this question.
All right, wait, hang on a second, Joe. I want you to pause for just a minute because we're coming up on a break right now, and I want to be able to get the full question. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you on hold, and we'll come back. And then also we have Craig in Ohio. Craig, we'll be getting to your question shortly as well. And the number here, by the way, is 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0957. Ed Rudell and Shane Hamlin in studio here, and Gary Baker is on the boat, ready to put in his 2 cents worth as well and help you out. So get on the phones. We got some help for you right now. Welcome back. By the way, Daniel Mason, thank you so much for being our engineer and our producer. Charm plus experience. I like that combination. All right, let's go back out to Joe from Hamtramck. And Joe, in all fairness to everybody else, I want to make this kind of a quick one so we can get on to some of the other callers who are coming in as well. But you had a second question you wanted to add to the your concerns. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, it kind of ties into the first, though, because old laptop Windows 7, new one Windows 10. I was analyzing this and saying, well, there's no easy way to transfer it over. But then I thought, I really don't need to transfer everything from the old laptop to the new one, because all I really am concerned about are the shortcuts that I have on my home screen. I open it up, and I don't have any files. I don't use it for business or anything of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
What would I do when I get the new one? Just log in, go to, it probably comes with Internet Explorer or something on it, and install Google Chrome and take it from there.
Now, when you say shortcuts, are you talking about your shortcuts for like Google Chrome or the desktop icon shortcuts?
The desktop icons.
Okay, and those are going to websites?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, usually what will happen is, you know, like with your Google Chrome and your Google account, as soon as you log into your Google Chrome browser, it'll keep all those things within the browsers the same. But what you'll have to do is you'll have to actually do a little bit of a data transfer from your new computer to from your old to your new, and you're gonna want to go into your user profile and grab your desktop folder, and make sure you copy that over.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can copy it over to a USB flash drive, and then locate a similar folder on your new Windows 10, and then drag it back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so go to user profile. And what was the other second?
Well, it'd be under like your C drive under users, and then there'd be your screen name. Mm-hmm. And then under their screen name, you'll see several folders: favorites, documents, desktop, and videos, pictures. And what you want to do is grab the desktop folder that's underneath your username under the user profiles, and you drag that to an external USB flash drive.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, this is on my old one, right?
Yep. And on your new one, basically, then you would instead of dragging the desktop folder onto your computer. You from the USB drive, you open up the desktop folder that you just dragged to it from your new computer, and you'll see all the individual icons that you dragged over from the desktop folder. You select all, and you copy the contents of the folder onto the desktop of the new computer.
I follow you. Okay, great. Thanks a lot. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Joe. Thank you so much for giving us a call here as well. Thanks. Good to have you with us. And let's move on now to Craig from Ohio. Craig, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How may we help you?
Hey, guys. It's been a couple years. It's good to hear from you again.
Glad you haven't needed the help for that length of time. Let's see what we can do for you.
You know, I've been following you guys for about 8 years now, and I tell everybody on the planet, no matter where I go.
Appreciate it. I appreciate it, my friend. What can we do for you?
All right, what I got is I got a Dell Inspiron. It's about 4 years old.
Okay.
And I got the Dell products because when I work for Ford Motor Company, I've seen dozens of drop-to-the-floor hits, and they still survive. Mine did. It chipped off the corner on the left side back where the power goes in, you know, mm-hmm. And the terminal was like sticking out, and I was using it for a while, but you know, eventually it did fall off. And I don't know how to configure the terminals. There's four wires coming out, and where they go on that terminal. Is any reference I can go to?
Oh, Ed, this sounds like you're tinkering heaven.
Well, I mean, you could go to Dell's website. If you're lucky, on a lot of those laptops, the power connector is actually a little module that you can buy.
Yeah.
If you open up the bottom of the laptop. Yeah. Sometimes those power modules are integrated on the motherboard, and sometimes there's actually where the motherboard, there's a little jumper cable that goes to this power module where you typically plug the connector into. The simplest would be just to go out and get that new power connector for $5 on eBay or Amazon or something like that. That's one thing. And as far as the power connectors, it's usually 19.5 volts with a common, and then there's a signal wire in there as well. And I think, although the HPs and the Dells look virtually identical, you cannot interchange the power cords. Yeah, you can find the pinouts of those, but I wouldn't go that way. You would really want to buy the, the appropriate,
Replace the same module.
Yeah, the same module. Or if, Shane, do you have any suggestions?
No, I mean, everything you said was right on, spot on. The thing is, most times I'm seeing now everything is a ribbon. Everything is it's going to be a DC jack with a ribbon attached to it. That little DC jack, it's probably a little silver box, right, with the plug in it?
No, it's black. It's got the wires were soldered on there.
Yeah,
I looked at it with a magnifying glass with a light. There's no indications on there like red, blue.
Yeah, you can see the wires inside the hole still.
Yeah, the wires are still sticking out.
Yeah, it is a ribbon cable. It's a cable connected to a little jumper that goes on your motherboard.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's just wires. I mean, like just small.
Oh, so you haven't actually opened up the laptop itself. You're looking in the back of it.
Right.
It's sort of like looking into a cave and looking at the first 5 feet. Okay.
There's not a ton. There's not a ton of DC jacks that are soldered to the motherboard anymore as they once. How old is your machine?
It's got to be every bit of 4 years, four or five years.
Most likely it's going to be a DC jack attached to a cable attached to the inside. When I say cable, it's all inside the machine. It's not poking out. It's all built. It's all inside guts part of it.
So what you're thinking about doing is just jumpering, extending those out, and then buying a new connector and duct taping it to the back of the computer and plugging it in just so you get power. And believe me, I've done that.
Yeah. Duct tape.
But not duct tape, but, hot glue.
And I meant to tell the other guy, epoxy, all those things work great, getting those little DC jacks to sit in those little seats that they put.
Yeah.
Because they're held in there with these little teeny plastic tabs, and once those break, that thing's just loose and flopping around.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you can search the internet for what the pinouts are of all of those.
And that's what I was going to tell the guy from the previous call. YouTube is your friend. YouTube, type in the model number, and just put power jack, and you'll see the repair sitting right in front of you. The guy will go step by step and show you how to do it.
That's a good.
And
it worked on my brakes on my Dodge.
Right.
There you go.
I tell my wife all the time, I said, if I had a garage, all I need, if I can, I know nothing about cars, but if I had a garage with all the tools and a computer with YouTube, I can fix anything in my car, I bet.
I just brought acetylene torches for my home because the YouTube video said I had to have them.
There you go. See? Yeah. That's right.
People do anything to get on TV, won't they?
But YouTube told me to, honey.
That's right. It's going to be a new reality show. YouTube it.
All right.
You know, good luck with that. So the computer, great. I assume, doesn't charge up right now because of the power connectors finally giving out.
Oh, the other thing I was thinking about doing was going online and getting, you know, just another Dell same model, probably dirt cheap, and just swapping out the batteries. That'd probably be the easiest.
Well, swapping out the batteries, or you can get the swapping out the hard drive, and you have a full working computer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But all right, thanks, guys.
All right, my friend. Thank you very much, Craig, for giving us a call. I tell you, just it set off these home technicians. Gary, I don't know. Are you doing the same thing with your boat down there? Are you learning all sorts of marine mechanics? You know, like these guys up here are learning about computers?
You have no idea. Boy, I replaced the pump on one of my air conditioners, and I have a water heater element had to be replaced. I've replaced pump outs on the shower. I've torn apart toilets and emaciators. I got into the diesel and fixed some of the problems that we had there, along with some help. I got some help on the diesel. That was good.
So have you used YouTube for this?
Of course. Are you kidding? I don't know any of this stuff until I, you know, go to YouTube.
I love
and
it.
If it's not on YouTube, it can't be real.
Right. I'll tell you what, you know, there's a making there for a really good show where for YouTube, I better keep it myself, but if YouTube wants to get on board, you get the professional in their field and a guy that's tech savvy with YouTube, and you put him in and see the exact same job and who can do the same way. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
That would be an awesome thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like swapping places?
Yeah, like you know, you're going to go up against a professional mechanic, but all you have is your computer in a garage. Same thing he has, but you're going to go up against his wits, but you're only going to use YouTube
for
the research.
And I only charge half as much.
See? I'm
telling you. I love it. All right, we got Susan from Detroit hanging on. And Susan, what I'm going to do is just take, we're going to hold you off for just a second because we're coming up on a break and I want to be able to take some time listening to your question. But I want to remind everybody else, we're here till 7 o'clock and we have some lines open at 800-859-0957. Again, that's 800-859-0WJR. That's how you get it. That's right. And still plenty of time for questions, and we're going to get some answers for you on those questions as well. So, Susan, we'll be back in just a moment. Hang in there. And for the rest of you, again, the number 800-859-0957, the Internet Advisor on the air for you. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor. You know, guys, I think we got to build a fire in a corner. This air conditioning is working really, really well. It's cold in here. It's hard to think. Maybe some of you out there can't imagine what that feels like because you're up with the humidity.
Well, my teeth was chattering, so I mean, that's why I had my mic muted there. But yeah,
when we came in, we found out that somebody had set the temperature at 30 degrees.
Let it snow.
Oh yeah, that's just about it.
I don't have air conditioning at home, so
what?
And I know, so I suffer through the week. And so coming into air conditioning is just. Yeah, I don't care.
You don't care.
I don't care. I'm going to soak this up and let it leach out of me through the day when
you're
I get home.
One of those, huh,
Gary?
And I mean, I guess I could get a window unit, but my wife's dead set against it. So,
Gary, I'm sorry. What were you saying?
Well, you know, Paul W. Smith keeps the studio very, very cool.
Yes,
so.
I know.
He must have been using the studio just before us, or something.
Yeah. It's as they say, you could hang meat in here. Okay, 800-859-0957 is the number. Let's go to Susan from Detroit. Susan, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Thank you. I'd like some advice on selecting a security system for my computer.
What? Tell me a little bit. Go ahead.
That sometimes you can download things that are free, and I don't understand why. It would be free and safe.
that is kind of an anomaly there. What kind of a computer are you using right now? What operating system?
I have a Mac.
You have a Mac. Okay. Mm-hmm. I guess I'll.
Well, I mean, usually on the Macs, I think this one you can go to the App Store and download a lot of free applications.
Absolutely.
But you have to read through them because they have to disclose what those are. You know, what are they taking? Are they stealing? And I'm sorry, not stealing. Are they acknowledging that they're going to look at your contacts and your calendar and your favorites and your cookies? So are you referring to those type of free applications for the Mac, or are you referring to other websites that you download applications?
I've never downloaded a free one, but I've heard people say, you know,
yeah,
pay for it. Mm-hmm. And I've also, another question is, I've heard a lot about, it's been a while, though, Kaspersky.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's talking about it anymore, and I was wondering if it's because of the Russian issues we're having.
Oh.
That's good. No, you know, I don't think you have to worry too much about it. I mean, you don't want to overthink it and worry too much. If it's free, yeah, there are companies out there that do free antivirus for Mac, and Avast is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've found that, you know, out of the free ones out there, whether it be Avast or AVG, Avast, to my opinion, was the better one. I like it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Well, McAfee and Norton also make, if your internet provider usually provides free antivirus, yeah, for both the PC and the Mac. So if you're paying for your internet service,
yes.
Have you checked with them to see if they're offering free security software?
They say they do offer something. I just didn't know if that's sufficient, whatever.
Sure.
Generally speaking, you can be careful with this, because some of us who are Mac owners have kind of the attitude of, I don't need any security, which isn't real smart. So there are some products out there, CLAMXV, I believe is. I'll have to look at this again. But anyway, there are some security programs, Avast, et cetera, that are just good to have on top of and to run occasionally with your Mac. Mm-hmm. But I, to be honest with you, don't have really heavy security on my Mac.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Go ahead, Gary.
And all the bad guys, they're telling you don't need very good security for the Mac. You don't need it, right?
Right.
But it's the bad guys telling you that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's the bullseye.
You absolutely need to put antivirus on the Mac. Right. As it becomes a bigger part of the install base, it's going to be more of a target, more and more. There's been some problems already that have have percolated throughout the Mac community. So Avast has always been rated very good for the Mac, but I think Ed's idea of checking with your internet provider is a good one as well.
Yeah. Now, if you're looking for free apps, now, Foster, please help me with this because I don't have it on mine, but with the newest version of the Mac OS, don't you have the App Store there?
Yes.
Right.
Yes,
so if you're going to download apps, Apple does a very good job vetting them out.
Yes.
So if you're going to download and look for free apps, they would be, go through the App Store. And that includes games and utilities.
Yes. Very good point.
Okay. But usually when you install them, they have to have that disclaimer, like I said earlier, of this is what we're going to look at. You know, we may want to look at your cookies or we may need access to your internet history. You know, you have to read the disclaimer after when you install it.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them advertise during the installation process what they need access to.
We'd also say that malware bytes, and Gary, certainly, and Ed, this is something we've been talking about for a long time. Malware bytes is good and works with the Mac as well. And it's a good antivirus program to run periodically on your computer. Now, you can have either the free version or the paid version. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you for your call. That was a good one. I really appreciate your asking that question, Susan.
And sometimes the simplest ones are the good ones. You know, because that's true. There are so many free apps out there, especially for the PC, but for the Mac, that I would start, if you're interested in that, and most people want to look at some type of gaming initially to entertain themselves, or mapping programs, or, you know, Lineage and Ancestry, try the App Store.
I think that's an excellent point you brought up, Ed, and because with the App Store, you have an extra level of security for Apple products. All right, let's go back to our phone lines and say hello to Dave from Saline. Welcome, Dave. How can we help you here on the Internet Advisor?
I have a Dell computer that I bought last year. It came with McAfee antivirus software.
Mm-hmm.
It is about to expire. I have Comcast in my house, and I believe Comcast gives you free Symantec.
I think it is, yes.
It does. It does. It gives you free Symantec. It changes yearly, depends on what deal they get from the company. But is it Windows 10?
Yes.
Yeah, if to be honest with you, and I'm one of those guys that says, granted, I like Windows 10 Defender. I like what they put in their antivirus. Yep. I don't use anything else but Windows Defender. Maybe I'll use a little Malwarebytes here and there or something like that, a little ADW cleaner. But I would just stick with the Windows. I mean, I don't get... The Windows software is just, you know... Just their antivirus is just as good.
It is. Well, because they participate in the same security forums that all the other antivirus companies do.
Exactly.
They purchased an antivirus company 6 years ago and started offering Windows Defender and with the Windows Vista, I think, even back then when Microsoft first. So they've come a long ways. And I'm like Shane, as a professional IT person, I just have the native Windows antivirus and then Malwarebytes on occasion and then AW scanner.
Especially with the latest creators update, you want to make sure your Windows 10 is to the latest creators update.
It's a really key point for the update.
Because that creators update is a big one.
And the thing is, and how you do this, you uninstall your existing antivirus, and as soon as you do, Windows Security comes up and says, hey, you don't have any antivirus. Let me help you select one. And it brings up a page. And in there are just, is McAfee, I'm sorry. Who's the other?
Symantec.
I think they've changed it. I don't know. I think now they're really pushing their antivirus package through Microsoft. It'll pop up as a notification saying, hey, notice your antivirus is gone.
Would you like to enable?
Would you like to enable the one we provide for you? But you got to make sure you got that creators update because that's the big key to the antivirus.
Let me just, and Dave, you helped us to give us an opportunity to do this, underline that. Get the updates. Yeah. Keep current with the updates because, you know, that's Microsoft in the background working real hard to make sure that you don't get nailed by some, you know, zero-day exploit that's going on out there. They will do their very best, if you allow them, to keep your machine clean.
But what do we say is always the best protection? Backing up your data.
All right. That's what I was wondering. And I had someone else that told me that Windows has their own software and it's basically a free download and that kind of stuff.
That was my next question.
So it's actually built. You already answered that.
It's actually built right into the OS, so you don't even have to download it.
Yep, exactly. Okay. The other thing you may have heard Shane say is if you're backed up and you're backed up regularly, that's one of your best defenses for dealing with attacks. Because if all else fails, there are ways with the Windows operating system to simply wipe everything and go back to a beginning or back to a backup. Am I right on that, guys?
Yes, you are.
So
Go
ahead, Gary.
Over 70% of the attacks are against known vulnerabilities that people just haven't patched.
Yep.
So if people would patch, 70% of those vulnerabilities would go away.
Yeah, so and I think that's important because sometimes we think if I pay enough money and get a big enough suite, then I'll be, bulletproof. And you actually can do some very much simpler things and be safe. Ed, you have any thoughts to add to that?
None at all.
Okay.
That's all right. Excellent.
Okay. Well, I guess then basically you've got me convinced to get the Windows antivirus software. Right. I'm going to just uninstall the Symantec.
Right.
Or the
whatever, McAfee, yeah.
I'm just going to delete that, and then pretty much automatically my system will notice that I have nothing.
When you reboot, when you reboot, then it'll come up and it'll say, oh, we noticed this, and then it'll let you get to it, okay?
Okay, then I can just go ahead and download that.
Got it, my friend. Hang on a second. I tell you what, if you've got a further question, we'll get you off the air in just a moment. The rest of you, hang on. We got some time. Well, it's been a great afternoon and evening here, but we still have some time left to get a call in or two from you. And you heard that number again, 800-859-0957. Daniel, thank you. Daniel Mason is our engineer and producer, and I want to thank you guys as well for all of you've done.
Hey, Shane, when does back-to-school shopping start for college kids and high school kids? I thought so. Like in the last week of July.
Right?
Yeah. Kids need computers when they go to college.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You'll start seeing the sales pop off now. We're at our store, we're starting to sell.
I was going to say, my daughter is going to be going to a semester pretty soon, and her computer's 6 years old, five years old. It's time. So I might want to talk to you about that.
Yeah.
Put one aside. aside from
okay.
Yeah. And you in particular specialize in, was it HPs and Lenovos?
All of them. Everything. Yeah. Lenovo, HP, Dell, you name it, we'll get it. We'll have it in stock.
Now, are Acer still popular, or is it Asus?
Asus are good. You know, they make a nice little gaming machine.
Yeah, because they're fast. I mean, they're really good.
Yeah, I mean, better than
than Acer.
Well, they get them confused, Acer and Asus.
Yeah, Asus, and you pronounce it Asus. You know, which is Pegasus. And
yeah, but they make a nice little entry level gaming machine.
Yep. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. We've got Kathy, who's been waiting patiently in Southfield. Kathy, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Thank you. We have an older Mac, 10 years old, with an OS El Capitan, and Epson printer, and I switched the printer to landscape, and there's no option to switch it back. It doesn't show up a control panel. It doesn't show up an option for landscape or whatever. I don't know what I did. I don't know how it disappeared.
You know, I ran across this at work where that old of a computer, but it really depends on sometimes the application. Like, we ran across this with Microsoft Word with that generation of printer, but yet when we went into Adobe or we went into the video editing software, we could print landscape. But we did, because some people wanted the ability to print landscape and other times portrait, and it seemed it was application dependent for the Mac. So usually when you're having print issues, you have to get print driver updates, and the Mac is really good for, it just finds them, right? I mean,
yep.
And have you tried the manufacturer's website for the printer to see if
the other
they're...
one, yeah.
Yes, it's a go to control panel, and there's nothing that shows up anywhere I click that gives me a control panel for the Mac.
Well, no, there is no control panel for the Mac. It's called Preferences. And it's called System
Preferences.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And for the printer, and it doesn't show preference for landscape or portrait.
Have you tried removing the printer and then unplugging the printer from the computer, and then removing the printer and then re-adding it? This sometimes helped us in the environment. And then also, after you do that, if you still experience the problem, try different applications that you may have. Try a web browser, or try a Microsoft application or an Adobe application, and see if you still have the same limitations as far as landscape and portrait. But but just removing the printer itself and then re-adding it again may solve your issue.
So what you would do, what Ed's suggesting, is you go into System Preferences in the Mac, and when you're in there, you can click on Printers. And under printers there, then you will see your printers listed, and you can simply delete that printer from the configuration there, okay?
Right, because sometimes it's very difficult to go into the configuration of the printer once it's added. You really got to get down into it. Yeah. Cal told me about that. And me being in a Microsoft environment, I'm like, well, yeah, but why can't I just right mouse click on the printer and do properties and printer preferences? He says, you can't do that on a Mac. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, I said, how do I do it? Because I'm like, the typical Mac basher, right? And he says, just delete the printer, re-add it, and then the settings will be there next time. When you create the printer.
Does that make sense, Kath?
It does, except I had to use tech support to create the printer in the first place because we had the wrong code in there.
So. You mean Apple tech support? Or the,
yes.
Okay, not the printer company, tech support. Did you say it was an Epson?
Yes.
Oh, well, maybe.
I went to Epson tech support, and I got somebody that was real rude and sent me to something that was trying to sell me.
A lot of the manufacturers are doing this, Shane. Now, we talked about, in last week we had people from the cable company that were being shipped over... And they were trying to sell them a $200 antivirus package.
If you are out of warranty or have no support on your product, they will ship you off to a company overseas that they'll split the money in this little deal.
Now, Foster, is it possible to add another printer but point to the same device on a Mac? Because in the Windows environment, we would do that. So before you delete that printer, why don't you just try adding the same printer again?
That's a good point.
And giving a slightly different name.
Give it a little different name. That's a very good point. I've done that.
In the Windows environment, I've done that. Just to, say I wanted to have a printer dedicated for portrait and one for landscape. And I used this technique in the old days where I want to do a draft printer, save ink, save the ink, because it costs more than gold per ounce.
Yes.
And then I'd have a final draft printer, which is, you know, bold and, you know, it just sucks the ink, you know, where you got to blow on the pages.
So, all right, good. All good ideas. I'm almost to my destination. I'm in the car. So
Well, we don't want you. Yeah, we want you to make it to your destination. Yes. So thank you very much for calling, Grady.
All right.
All right, very good. We still have time. If you're giving us a call, matter of fact, we've got a couple of calls coming in right now. That's good. 800-859-0957, and we'll get to them in just a little bit. Shane, do you have a particular printer that you recommend to people when they're,
putting together
a package?
Funny question you asked that. Well, the way we do things at Comtech is I'll go out once. We don't buy, you know, 50 printers at once. We'll buy 3 or 4 or 5 and keep them in stock. But every month I go out and I look at the reviews. I look at all the reviews, all the recalls, and I find the printer that's doing the best at what they do at that particular moment, and I buy 3 or 4 of those. It doesn't, you know, every month it's somebody new outdoing the other one. So, you know, in that, we always like to keep it around $100, the $100 printer. That's what everyone likes. $100 printers can pretty much do everything.
Yep.
Fax, scan, copy, everything.
Multifunction.
So I'll find the best $100 printer that's out there right now at that moment, and that's what I'll bring in. Whether it be a Brother, Epson, Canon, HP. Okay. Haven't had a Canon in the store recently, though.
Yeah.
I've had some Brothers, though. Brothers have been doing a little bit better.
Yeah, there's a print shop that I deal with. It's a refill place that's out in Southfield.
Refill place.
Don't do that.
Shame.
Shame.
So, you know what I do? When I shop for a printer, I look at the cost of the inkjet, the ink. Refills.
Yes, that's true.
And then I look at the reviews of the printer as well. That way I can say, let's see, it's going to cost me $99 to buy 3 ink cartridges.
You remember the old, you know, this is your brain on drugs, you know, the whole frying pan, the egg thing? Listen, as someone who makes money selling these things, where you can destroy your printer all you'd like, I can sell you another one, but do not, and I tell people this all the time, do not refill your ink cartridges. Do not buy off-brand ink cartridges. Do not buy off-brand paper. If you buy an Epson printer, buy Epson printer paper, Epson printer ink.
Wait a minute.
I mean, it's going to be a little...
You mean it isn't a scam?
No. Cal said the same thing pretty much about the paper. Yeah. They do. It is excellent paper and HP paper. Yeah.
There's a lot of technology that goes into creating that image on that paper. You know, the draw of the paper, how much ink it takes in, the droplets of ink that spread through that toner cartridge, when they're combined, they're being tested together. You know, HP doesn't test their ink cartridges with off-brand generic paper. They test it with HP paper. So when they make those claims that this resolution or this much ink you're going to use, that's according to their paper.
Okay.
So when you use that cheap paper, it's like a sponge. It just sucks it right dry.
And all the colors are just muted.
And when you refill a cartridge...
That's a good point, yeah.
And when you refill a cartridge... You're breaking the seal on the cartridge, which creates a different draw rate of the ink. It just screws the whole thing up, and it all dumps into your ink in your printer.
You know, I'm tired of the refills, too, because I can't tell you how many times I've poked myself. In the old days, you used to use a syringe. I've injected ink into my own veins,
like
it seems.
Ink drug addict.
Yeah. Ugh. I'm done with that.
Yeah.
I won't even pay anyone to do it. I'm like Shane. I'll just go out and buy the stuff now.
I love it.
Shane, that's a really good point. I knew about the ink because I messed up my printers a few times and had to buy new printers with refilled ink. So I, again, like you guys, don't buy refilled ink anymore.
Yeah.
But I wasn't aware of the paper,
and
that's a really good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I had not thought of that either. Hey, we had a question, guys, just before we head out of here. Somebody called in, couldn't stick around, but their question was... they wanted to know about an antivirus system called Sophos, S-O-F-O-S. Mm-hmm. That's out there, right? That's a legitimate,
yeah. Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just like there's so everybody and their brother has an antivirus company, and it's there's tons of them out there. If it's something you're not familiar with, just Google it or Bing it, and you'll find some results and people that have used it and reviewed it.
Yeah, and spend some time.
You know, that's used.
Go ahead.
By a lot of companies over in Europe.
Is it?
Package.
Oh, that's interesting. Why is it so popular over there, Gary? Do you know?
Well, that's where I think it started.
Oh, I got you.
They just got more marketing traction over there, and it's a corporate buy, I believe. I don't know if many people buy it individually, but I do know a lot of companies that have bought it.
That would be why Kaspersky is also big in Europe, am I right?
It is, but that's big here, too. A lot of the professionals use Kaspersky. You know, they finally got hacked, and they were one of the last ones to get hacked. So everybody now, I believe, has been hacked at least once. but they held out for a long time. Very, very, very good company.
Remember the good old days of Zone Alarm, guys, when we were
doing... Gosh.
Yeah. Oh, and you think back to how simple life was back then.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, that would have been... What about 2000?
We didn't know.
Was it about 2005, I think it was, or 2006? The Zone Alarm was a big... And
2003 is when XP came out, so it would have been on that time frame.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. And then that started the process where they got bigger. The suite got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Eventually, we all kind of choked
up. I remember talking to a VP in the business unit, and he was saying that since we installed his antivirus, he's seen that we're getting attacked like once a week. This was back a number of years ago. And he was blaming it on the antivirus, and all of us kind of snickered because, you know, he was just finding out that they were attacking him all along. He just now knew it.
He just found that out. Well, Gary, Captain Bly, have a very good week, and set sail with your guests this evening. Enjoy yourselves out there. And Ed Riddell, thank you for being in studio with us.
Always
great. Shane, always good to have you back here with us.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you for being with us here on the Internet Advisor. Look for us at internetadvisor.net.